Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. I am flying solo tonight with Reggie and Coach both out of town on assignment. And I believe Cody is covering the Sharks, who seemed to look pretty decent last night, you know? Tons of stuff we're going to get into, as always. We're going to talk about the Chargers' attendance problems. We're going to talk about Cam Newton. We're going to talk about Danny Trevathan. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball. We're going to talk some NCAA men's basketball. I think you guys know where we're going with that. But first, I want to start by talking about the Falcons. And the reason I want to start talking about the Falcons is because this show is based around the Falcons, first of all. But second of all, you know, they had the game against Buffalo in the Dome. Good to go on and get that first loss in the Dome out of the way. Buffalo suddenly surprised everybody and did pretty well. Tyrod Taylor had 182 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions. LeSean McCoy was able to run for 76 yards. Hometown hero from right down the road, Douglas County High School, Mike Tolbert, with 31 yards. Charles Clay, the tight end, it's always been an Achilles heel of this Falcons defense, whether it was Mike Smith running it, whether it was Dan Quinn running it, whether it was, I don't think it matters. The two places they are most susceptible, into the flats at the either end of the offensive line, and tight ends in the middle of the field. This was no different. You know, Buffalo's always had a good defense. In fact, they actually sacked, Hughes had the lone sack, I believe. And Micah Hyde, formerly of Green Bay, I believe, Micah Hyde with two interceptions. And you could say they had a good defense and they played hard, and that's a lot of it. But here's also some of it too. Matt Ryan looked into his closet before the game and found his concrete shoes, as when he dropped back to pass, he seemed to not want to get out of the pocket whatsoever, even if that meant getting knocked around or whatever. And, you know, this is one of the things Matt Ryan's always one of the Achilles heels of him. And yes, you can have more than one. First of all, you have two heels anyway. Before anybody gives me any hate tweets on that one. But, you know, Matt Ryan, 24 completions, 242 yards, a touchdown, but two interceptions. That means this is something Coach Hill brought up to me, counting the Bills game and the game before that. Trying to pull it up. There it is. The game against the Lions. Matt Ryan has five interceptions. And that's not good, because they're getting into a part of their schedule. They're getting into a stretch for sure that is not going to be a good time to start throwing a bunch of interceptions. Because obviously they're off on the bye week this week, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about some other stuff here in a minute about this game. But Miami coming in, New England, the Jets, Carolina, Dallas, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, Tampa Bay again, New Orleans again, Carolina again. Yeah. Outside of the Jets, even though they've suddenly found the way to win the last couple weeks, those are all pretty tough teams. Those are teams that have good defenses, and if their defense can hold them in a game and hold Matt Ryan in his concrete shoes, then they're going to have a chance to win. No, this is not part of a Super Bowl hangover. That's made up. Absolutely just something made up. It's what non-fans of your team make up so that they have an excuse when they can say, I told you so, if you lose a game or if things don't go right. No. There's no such thing as a Super Bowl hangover. Anyway, besides his concrete shoes, I felt like Matt Ryan also, his velocity was too much. Now, I brought up to someone I was talking to about this, Brett Favre used to always throw nothing but fastballs. And they said, that's fine, but everybody knew it was coming. With Matt, you're used to these touch passes all the time, so that when you see one coming at, you know, you used to being able to run your route and turn around, the ball's right there. Instead, by the time you're running the top end of your route, the ball's already flying over your head. And it's because part of it was he was rushed in the pocket and such, and that's fine. You know, I'm not expecting Matt Ryan to be, you know, the best ever. Even Tom Brady has these problems. Peyton Manning had these problems. You know, things happen. I'm not even going to say he had a bad game because he really didn't. I'm just saying that these are things that popped up before that put a wrench in this offense. And unfortunately, when you get behind, Matt, you get Matt Schaub and then whoever we have on our practice squad, which I will try to find out why I'm talking to you. Does it have it listed? No, of course it doesn't have it listed. Anyway. Matt Schaub's okay, but he's going to have similar issues to the way Matt Ryan plays. It's just something Matt's got to get better at. He's got a couple weeks to work on it, so I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. You know, they are still 3-1. It still puts them in a good spot. They're the other tie with the Panthers, but the wheels are about to come off that train, so I'm not worried about it. Tampa is just the game back. And technically, so is the Saints. So, you know, that's something we'll keep an eye on for that. I'm not worried about New Orleans, though. This should be fine. Other news and notes, Julio went off with the hip injury. Sanu is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. Julio's was a hip flexor. He should be good to go in about a week, just in time to play against the Dolphins. Sanu out 2 to 3 weeks, so there's a chance he'd be ready to go by then. I think precautionary. Maybe hold him out, but it just depends. It depends on how you want to play it. But now we're seeing this defense is starting to miss Vic Beasley. Yeah, they're starting to miss Vic Beasley. You can only ask a rookie in Tack McKinley to do so much. You can only ask a rookie to do so much. I mean, seriously. I think Houston was guilty of that with Jadeveon Clowney because they're like, well, J.J. Watt's hurt. You need to be the new J.J. Watt. And it forced him to do something he wasn't used to. But they're starting to miss him. At this current moment, I don't have an idea when he may or may not be back. Hopefully sometime soon. Let's see if we can get I know we're on a skeleton staff here. But let's see if we can try to figure out what's going on with Vic Beasley in the time that we're still talking about him. You know, like I said, they do have the off week. I don't feel like it's going to be a problem. Here we go. Here's a full injury report. Wow. Top of the charts today. Ricardo Allen still has concussion symptoms. He did not practice yesterday or today. Vic Beasley with his hamstring problem. He did not practice either. Ryan Schrader with his concussion. Courtney Upshaw with his ankle and knee. And Terran Ward with his neck and shoulder all did not practice. How come Mohamed Sanu's not on there? Huh. Okay. Maybe Sanu is day-to-day with his injury. Anyway, Jack Crawford with his shoulder injury, and Julio Jones with what is being listed as a back injury, not a hip flexor. Either way, we're limited in practice today, but they actually did practice. So there's your Falcons injury report. You know, there were some other things that I didn't have a problem with. Devontae Freeman did have 58 yards and a rushing touchdown, but Tevin Coleman picked up the slack. He had half as many carries and 77 yards. He also had four catches for 65 yards out of the backfield. Austin Hooper got in on it with five catches for 50 yards. Let's see, Jones, Reed, Shelby. Yeah, they all had the sacks. Shelby, though, man. Boy, that guy there, I like him. I think it's Derek Shelby. That guy can play. That guy can play. He just, between him and Reed and everybody, it's, you know, they're still getting the disruption. Tack McKinley's going to come along. You can't expect him to do what he did last week every week. Not yet. But, you know, I feel fine about the Falcons. I don't have a problem. Like I said, I don't even want to hear some kind of goofy hangover, and it's goofy. That's exactly what it is. Absolutely goofy. But moving on. Let's move on. Let's talk. Let's talk some Danny Trevathan. We've all seen the hit by now, if you didn't see it live, on Devontae Adams back from Thursday Night Football. Clearly, Devontae Adams was already getting tackled and already almost on the ground when Trevathan laid into him and pretty much put him out. Mouthpiece went flying. We all thought the worst. Danny Trevathan's not that kind of player. But it's just an unnecessary hit to me. And I was a little hot about it. Still a little hot about it, but I'm okay now. Danny Trevathan did apologize after the game. He reached out to Devontae Adams, who may actually play this week. He's passed everything you needed to pass so far. As far as I know, and I think he actually practiced. But we just can't have these kinds of hits. He was suspended for two games. It's been dropped down to one. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it. The people that they have in charge of nowadays, it's not Goodell, and I believe it's Derek Brooks, and I think he would know. So dropping it down to one, that's fine. Trevathan will more than likely not do that again, and you know, I take back all the things you didn't hear me say about you, Danny. So moving on, we had a couple interesting finale games here. I'm going to pull those up. Some surprising ones, and then some not-so-surprising ones. You know, you had the L.A. Rams. I'm getting more accustomed to saying that. The L.A. Rams continue their hot streak of scoring 30-plus points, and they came back and beat the Dallas Cowboys. Big game for Greg the Leg Zuerlein for the Rams. You had the Saints go all the way to London to just really beat the crap out of the Dolphins, 20-0. Something we may not have seen coming. Yeah, Cam Newton, wake up. Remember that he might be one of the most talented athletes in the league, let alone quarterbacks. He was able to beat Tom Brady as the Panthers won right there at the end, 33-30. You know, a lot of upsets here as we get to our picks here in a minute. The Jets over the Jaguars, I you know, not personally the Jets, but the Jaguars should have beat you in that one, but you won 23-20. The Texans blanking pretty much blanking the Titans, 57-14. The Bills, I give them credit. They're a good team. It's probably an upset on paper, but they're a lot more even than – they're closer to even than most. And I feel like there was one more. What was the other one? Nope, that's pretty much it. Okay. But, you know, some big wins there. There's so much parity in this league that it actually makes sense that sometimes the little guy's going to win. And it makes a lot of sense. At some point, I think Cleveland's going to win a couple games. I still think they could win 4 or 5 games. I'm not sure who they're going to beat, but it's going to be somebody. Now, the Seahawks, we know, rolled. It was Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, one of them. They were able to roll over the Colts, as they should. But this week, some of the bigger injuries were, you know, they had the big win, but it cost them Cliff Avril, who has a neck injury. It cost them Chris Carson, their breakout rookie running back. He's already had ankle surgery, actually, so he's out for the rest of the year. And everybody in that locker room liked Chris Carson and Cliff Avril for sure, but they definitely were big Carson fans, so it kind of cost him there. This not having Cliff Avril in will definitely but you know, they do have to watch out because the Rams are on a hot streak right now. Are the Rams a better team than Seattle? So far this year they are, but overall, not quite. But you never know. Arizona's fading. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. I still think Seattle's going to win the division, but maybe the Rams sneak into a wild card. Good chance here. You know, we finally get the fourth NFC team that checked in, though, because Atlanta, pretty good powerhouse, doing pretty well. Green Bay, Dallas, those were the front runners so far this year. That fourth front runner, we were waiting to see what they were. That was Seattle. Finally, they check in and let us know, hey, we're still here. And their defense is still pretty dominant, and their offense actually figured out how to score some points. Imagine that. So, you know, welcome to the party, Seattle. I think there are some other teams to look out for in the NFC. You know, like I said, Eagles, I already told you about. Dallas, we talk about. Washington, not only are they right in the race there for their division, they're only a game out. Kirk Cousins is starting to play like he did at Michigan State. That guy can play. He does have a little bit of an injury, apparently, but he should be okay. Detroit, we know about. Green Bay, we know about. Minnesota's the one that's kind of interesting as far as that. I still think it's Tampa and Atlanta in the South. If not, the emerging Panthers are back, so have to watch out for them. And then in the West, the Rams and Seattle, because the 49ers in Arizona are not going to play into that at all. But it's good to see the NFC is still going strong, and there's some good races still there. You know, we watch baseball all the time, or some people watch baseball all the time, and they have this wild card thing where if they didn't have a second wild card by July, over half to two-thirds of the teams would not have much to play for. The second wild card has a whole new dimension to it. So, in a way, all these races being tight so early are just going to make it better for us as the fan. It's going to be a better product. Here we go. Seattle also lost left tackle Reese Ahiambo. They thought he had a heart bruise. Turns out it's just like a pulled sternum muscle or something. It's not heart related. I know that. Maybe even a cracked rib or something, which can still be pretty painful and pretty bad, but at least it's not a heart bruise. A chest contusion, as they typically like to call it. So, you know, good news for him, and there's a chance he'll be back sometime soon. Other news coming down the pipeline. Mitch Trubisky is going to start versus Minnesota on Monday Night Football. First start for the Bears. A lot of people are like, finally, they should have done this earlier. No, I still think this is a little too early, but at this point, when you're John Fox, you're just trying to get wins, and you're just trying to save yourself. At least if you put in the rookie, you can kind of go, hey, look, he's a rookie. Don't fire me. Yeah, that's probably what's kind of happening right now. But I wish him the best. I wouldn't mind him winning that game. Our new segment coming up that involves upsets. No, I have Cody's picks, and Cody did not pick that game, so maybe I will. Now, let's get to the big stories here. Time to sound the alarm on a couple of these. Don't hit panic, and that's not some of your phones that my dad's ringtone is at, and it always freaks him out. Should be fun. You know, you got Cam, who was at a press conference, and a female reporter asked Cam about passing routes, and he made kind of a snide comment about it. She has since apologized. He has not. And even the story came out earlier today, too, that he has been a recent victim of a stalker. That's still no excuse to treat any reporter, let alone a female reporter, but any reporter like he did. This just comes down to the fact that for Cam to be one of the most talented, athletic people in the National Football League, possibly in sports, I mean, he's got every bit of the talent of a lot of the other people in other sports. For him to be as talented as he is, and yet he still acts like a 12-year-old, acts childish all the time, you know, cutting jokes at the wrong time, and these kinds of things, and then he makes this comment, and hasn't made a public apology. Maybe he's apologized to her over a text or something, but no, you should go up to her in person and say, I should not have said that. That's what's got to happen. Cam, if you want us to take you seriously and consider you one of the better quarterbacks in this league, it's your maturity. It's been your maturity the whole time. It's unbelievable. I went to school with all kinds of people. I bet we all did. One guy in particular who was one of the stars of the high school team at my high school, the one that went to the semifinals of the state 5A, 6A, whatever division we were in. I've known that guy since I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, halfway through our senior year, as talented as he was, he found other reasons to stay home instead of coming to school, and threw away all kinds of opportunities. Super talented, could have played anywhere he wanted to, Division I, that kind of stuff. And in a way, I see Cam doing the same thing. Like I said, as talented as he is, all he wants to do is make these little remarks and be known for what he's wearing and not what he does on the field. Well, that's fine. If you want to be a Kardashian and be famous for being famous, or be famous for wearing outfits out in public, then that's fine. Go ahead and hang up the cleats, and we can move on from it. The Panthers could move on from it. We can all not have to worry about it ever again. But I think there's still a little part of you that cares enough about the game of football and about the fans. Because it's not up to the fans on this. It's up to you, Cam. If you want to make that decision, fine. Make that decision. We all wash our hands of it, and we move on. But I think as much as he seems to always remind me of someone who just doesn't really want to play anymore, he needs to find that passion that made him want to play. The one that helped him lead Auburn to the first national title they've had in a long time, and they haven't been anywhere close since. That tells you how special he was, because that team was pretty decent. That team wasn't an all-star team that he took all the way and won a championship with. Just like I said, it comes down to maturity. And it's something we all struggle with sometimes. You know, maybe make a remark or maybe cut a joke at the wrong time. But when you're in the public, eye, like Cam Newton is, you can't do stuff like this. You just can't do stuff like this. I want to talk a little bit about the Chargers' low attendance in L.A. I'm not concerned about it. There was rufflings that some people appealed to the NFL about potentially moving the Chargers back to San Diego. Well, San Diego's already kind of said, we don't want you, because they didn't want to build a stadium, and they're not really clamoring to get you back now. You can't just start moving them around back and forth, back and forth. It's not chess, and you still have your hand on the piece, so it didn't count. No, it's, the Chargers need to stay in L.A. They're playing in a stadium that's half as big as the one they typically did, in a brand new town where they're splitting popularity with not only the L.A. Rams, the other pro team there, but the might-as-well-be pro team there, USC Trojans. They're probably the most popular team in the area. We're not getting into the Raiders being popular over there, nothing like that. No. What the Chargers need to do is try to find a young star, whether it's on another team or through a draft or something, that identifies with the L.A. market that you can push as the face of the team, like the Rams are doing with Jared Goff. You see Jared Goff, and he screams L.A., you know, L.A. surfer boy. I mean that in a good way. Highly talented. He's got the good looks. He looks like he hangs out on the beach a lot. That's what L.A. is. L.A. is about nice weather, bad traffic, and winning. You know, they haven't had a team over there in a while, but the Rams are doing everything. Everything's falling into place for them. I'm not going to say they're doing everything right, but everything's falling into place for them. But they're also playing in a bigger arena. The Chargers have just got to figure out a way to appeal to the fans to come see them live, because they're a decent watch. But it's time that some of those older veterans they have either need to play better, or they need to find those faces, like I'm saying. If they find a face, they'll be able to move on straight from that. But to say that they should move back to San Diego is just, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Oh, we'll just move them back real quick. No, it doesn't work that way. It's like at your job. You work in one department. Let's say you work in the PR department. You're great at public relations. You're great at reaching out and either fixing problems or maybe calling ahead and setting up some really cool moments. And then they move you to sales, and you've never sold anything in your life, which is partially not true because you had to sell yourself to get the job. But a whole different argument. Now you're in sales. You know anything about sales. Your degree says public relations on it. So do you just, after it doesn't, you know, you have a bad week or two, do you go to your boss and, hey, you know what, why don't you just move me back over to the public relations department? And they go, yeah, no thanks. I put you in sales for a reason. Make it work. Because, I mean, it's not like the Chargers are going to get fired from the NFL. They just got to, you know, they just got to play better. They got to play better. They got to put some wins on the board. And they got to find somebody that the LA audience can identify with. Phillip Rivers is a good guy, but he identifies more with North Carolina and San Diego because those are the two places he's lived. You know, Antonio Gates, same thing. Hunter Henry, same thing. Who do the Chargers have? I'm going to look this up now. Who do the Chargers have that could be identifiable for the LA market? Let's look. Let's just look at the roster. First of all, that's crazy. You know, you look at Phillip Rivers. Not really. Melvin Gordon, maybe. You got Allen and Inman, the wide receivers. Not so much. Henry and Gates, I talked about. Got Okung, Slauson, Pulley, Barksdale, Wiggins. You got one of the Watt brothers. Oh, here you go. I got it. I think Joey Bosa is your guy. You got to promote Joey Bosa the way Houston does J.J. Watt. Now, does he do all this off-the-field stuff? I don't know. He's just been in the league, what, a year and a half? Let's push him. Let's push Joey Bosa. I'm fixing your problem. You just let go of Young Ho Koo, the kicker. He missed some big kicks, I understand it. He's a good kid. He'll bounce on his feet. He's still a good kicker. Saw him kick it, Georgia Southern, a good bit. I don't have any problems there. But there you go. I'm not just going to call out problems. I'm going to fix them. You need to promote Joey Bosa. Because if you do that, I think you guys will be okay. Moving on. I did find it odd that not only did Derek Carr get hurt. That's not what I found odd. Marcus Mariota did as well. This is two consecutive years they have been hurt on the same day. And it's going to cost their team a little bit of a... It's going to cost their team a little bit, I believe. I don't know if Carr's going to... I think Carr's is back early. I think it's back spasms. But it seems to be you need to tighten up that offensive line. And if you think you got a tight offensive line, then maybe you need to really be coaching up the backup. And the backup, of course, is E.J. Manuel, who was able to beat out Connor Cook. You know, one thing after another. But Carr should be back in a couple weeks, I think. Mariota, I think, will miss a week or so. But they mean that much to their team that if they're out, their chances of those two of their teams making it to the playoffs go down by about 10 to 15% easy. And both divisions are loaded with teams that are already ready to knock them off. So. Moving on, before I get to the picks for the night, there's two things I want to talk about. And that's there's a baseball thing and there's a men's basketball thing. Because I want to end on a high note. So we're going to end with our new pick segment. Let's talk about the basketball thing. Now, of course, apparently the FBI would not typically be involved with the NCAA. Usually the government tends to stay out of sports unless they get drugged into it, and that's what happened here. Basically, the FBI has an informant who was turning over the finances or a financier of another big ring that was going on, another big sting or something like that. And in the process, he's like, oh, well, while I'm talking to you, let me go ahead and tell you about these things. There have been at least four assistant coaches in men's college basketball. And a couple head coaches and ADs have either resigned or gotten fired, including Rick Pitino at Louisville for misappropriating funds, basically. I'm not gonna go on the record here and say that everybody cheats. I'm just going to say that, you know, because I have no proof of anybody except for what's in public knowledge, you know. As far as I know, all the teams we're associated with, Kennesaw State and Georgia State, do everything by the book. They are ran by some really good people who like to follow rules, who are allowed to follow rules and enjoy following the rules. So, you know, as far as those go, like I said, UGA, Tech, Georgia Southern, the other teams in the state, from the athletic directors I've met and coaches and other people, even boosters, I feel like they're straight and narrow too. I'm not going to go team by team here. But the main thing I find with this is here's Rick Pitino again. Somebody gives him another chance, and he pretty much blows that too. I think he's done coaching because I don't think he's going to be let back in. Whatever the sanctions from the NCAA are, are going to keep him out far enough to where I don't think anybody takes a risk on him. And I know I would. There's no way. And if my kid was thinking about going to a school that he was associated with, then it's not happening. It's not happening. It's at the risk of my kid not getting a great opportunity for an education and to showcase their skills. Yeah, no. Rick Pitino's had all kinds of scandals over the years, all kinds of different things. There was the prostitute thing, just a couple years ago. He seemed to survive that. But now Louisville has the boosters and everybody and the board sat down and said, you know what? He's not just going to be on leave, which is what he was put on initially, as his AD resigned, I believe. They officially let go of Rick Pitino, and you know the kinds of things he did.
That's unacceptable.
Exactly, unacceptable. You're supposed to be the role model for these kids that you are grooming to become model citizens, become the best you can, and yet you're showing them it's okay to basically that the movie Blue Chips is a lot more of a documentary than it is fiction. That's okay to, I mean, I don't blame the kids either. I mean, if you're 17, 18, 19 years old and somebody approaches you and says, hey, I know you wanted to go to school A and I know you're committed to go to school A, but gosh, if you come to school C over here, you know, here's $10,000 for your family, or maybe here's a house or a car, or, you know, here's something that you probably couldn't have got on your own at this point. And all you have to do is sign here and come here. I'm sure it happens a lot. But the thing that I don't get is the first thing the NCAA is going to want to do is punish Louisville. Louisville didn't do it. Now, did Rick Pitino have a hand in it? Probably. Did a couple of his assistants? Oh, I'm sure. Did the AD probably know about it and not say anything? Yeah, but let's take two other cases into consideration while we're talking about this. And those two would be Baylor, who had all the stuff happen with their football team last year? Or earlier this year, even maybe. And Penn State. Now, given all the stuff that happened at Baylor, if they still have a football program, which they do, and didn't get the death penalty, which they didn't, for one, it would cost a lot more than them a lot of money and opportunities, especially TV money and such. But if Baylor is still a football team, after all the stuff they did, then Louisville shouldn't get the death penalty either. You punish the people that were involved, maybe whichever student athlete it was, maybe there's a sanction on them. And then there was Penn State. We all know what Sandusky did and was doing. We later found out that Joe Paterno knew a little bit about it and said a few things, but never did more than say a few things when he was brushed off. It was unfortunate, as good as Joe Pa was as a coach. He had that small lapse, ended up costing part of his legacy. The AD there apparently knew a little bit and didn't do anything. And they had some pretty tough sanctions, but their football team's still going for the same reasons. It would cost more than just that university if something were to happen. Louisville's in the same boat. But like I'm saying, if those two aren't going to get the death penalty, then Louisville doesn't deserve it either. I think you can put some sanctions on it, maybe take away from scholarships, maybe say maybe keep them out of the tournament for a year or so. Maybe for a year, because like I said, it's not most of these student athletes that had anything to do with this. So as long as there are college sports in this country, I think we're going to always have misappropriate funds and fund scandals. But at least we can try to corral some of these and just keep some of them and try to bust the ones that do it and try to keep the other ones on the straight and narrow path. It is what it is. Rick Pitino fired. But like I said, I wouldn't give them the death penalty. And then last, I got to talk about this because this is a local story, and we try to talk local as much as possible. The Braves general manager has resigned from his office. I think Copy is what a lot of people call him. Did a lot of really great things and really molded this team and was kind of like the Danny Ferry, and I'm using that word on purpose, those words on purpose, kind of the Danny Ferry of baseball here in Atlanta. Had a really good plan, putting some really good things in place. And, you know, Danny Ferry as the GM of the Hawks at the time apparently read an email. He didn't write the email. He didn't send the email. All he did was open it. Read an email. And that became a big scandal. So he ended up leaving and going to Boston, where he's building a winner up there. And the Hawks are back to mediocreville. In fact, the Hawks are so good that their best player got arrested the other night, and that's probably the highlight of this season. I hope it's not, but that probably is. It's the highlight of the offseason, rather. Hopefully they fire up. We got a lot of young talent and everything, but seriously, top player and the only player that most people recognize that don't watch them regularly because they're not on SportsCenter. And that's not by choice. For some reason, Atlanta's never on SportsCenter. Whole different tangent. But yeah, best player they got gets arrested the other day for I can't remember what. We got to turn it around. We got to do some different stuff here in Hawksville. But that's a whole nother thing. Maybe we have some of the Hawks guys on. We'll talk about some strategy and stuff like that. That'd be fun. I'd like to have them on because I've always followed the Hawks my entire life. So, but anyway, back to the Braves. You know, we all thought, hey, they're a little ahead of schedule. All these younger guys and a lot of these other players they were getting have been doing fantastic. And then we find out why. The scandal behind this is when signing international players, obviously any player outside the U.S., and it's probably some inside, but when signing international players, there are certain rules and regulations that you must follow. And there are a lot of fail-safes put into place so that if you don't, some of them will trigger back up or a flag will go up and you'll go, oh, okay, my apologies, take a step back, do something different. Well, apparently, either they didn't flip the flags up fast enough or this guy just continued to try to take advantage of he hadn't been caught yet. And once he was caught in it, resigned. And John Hart has officially took over for now as the interim until we find another. I saw where Brian Snitker's 2018 option as the head coach or as the manager. I don't know why baseball won't call him my head coach, but it's what they are. Snitker's option for 2018 was picked up. So they just got to find another GM. When you're here in Atlanta, it's always so frustrating because you either get some kind of crazy scandal, like with the Hawks or the Braves, like this, that seems to set the team back a little bit. You get your team like the Thrashers, who get moved up north somewhere because you have owners who don't have any idea how to run a hockey franchise. Yes, Atlanta Spirit, I'm talking to you. Love to have you guys on here to hear about that. It might be a whole show. You know, we do have the Atlanta Gladiators that are actually playing right now. Shout out to them. We'll be talking about them in the next couple of weeks on Impact Media stuff. But the best team in the state is Atlanta United, who up until the other night was undefeated at home. They're beating everybody like 3-1 or better, sometimes 3-0, 6-0. They're really good. They're either going to be second or third in the playoffs, which could be fun. That means we'll host a playoff game here, I believe. That could be super fun. But, and the other thing about Atlanta teams, for some reason, anytime an Atlanta team, the only outlier so far is Atlanta United soccer in the MLS. Anytime an Atlanta team plays a really good team, we play them fantastic. We play them, you know, head to head, just dead on, just as much as it's one of the most competitive games you'll see. And then we play against teams that aren't quite as competitive, and they seem to run the gauntlet on us. It's just an Atlanta thing. It's something we got to change. I don't know if it's a mindset. I don't know if it's gotten the players' mindset. We got to change this. But overall, the Braves are going to look for a new GM. The Hawks are going to figure out what roster they want to roll with. I feel like the guy that got arrested the other day, it's not like he's a bad guy. He's done a lot for Atlanta. And I really hope that they can put this behind him and he can help lead the Hawks. Rebuild, I guess, is what it still is because we traded everybody else. So, you know, want him to do well. Want them to do well. And if you're Atlanta United, you keep doing what you're doing. But that's going to lead me all the way to...
These guys are Warriors.
That's right, Coach, they are. It's going to lead me all the way to our new pick segment. And in our new pick segment, we have three ways you can score a point on this one. We have bet the house, which is your surefire win. So like I was explaining when I explained this to the guys last week. So like if you said like last week, there's bet the house, which is your surefire win. No matter what, this team is going to win this week. Upset alert. This is the upset you're calling in a matchup. And then top performer. So last week, if you said, I'm betting the house that the Packers beat the Bears. My upset alert, the Rams over the Cowboys. And top performer, Cam Newton. Then you would probably have gotten all 3 points, or you probably would be the winner because that's the way we're going to base it on. You can get 1 or 2 points there. Top performer is kind of the tiebreaker. You know, anybody that goes 22 for 29 for 316, 3 touchdowns, an interception, as Cam did, is probably going to win that. That being said, coming into this week, I have Cody's picks right here. His bet the house is that the 49ers beat the Colts. Yeah, I hope they do. His upset pick is tonight's game, Tampa Bay over New England. And his top performer is Jay Cutler. He thinks Cutler's going to have a big day over Tennessee. Makes sense? Makes sense. Now, that leads me to mine. And there are some rough games this week. I'm going to say... Yeah, this is going to anger a lot of my Dallas fans, I think, but... I think my bet the house, which is now the way we come up with this is if we were in a state that allowed betting, or if we were in an establishment, this is all for fun, obviously with us. But if we were in a casino or a place where legalized sports betting was legal, where sports betting was legal, I guess this is something that we are so sure of we would bet our house on. Oh, got one right here. My bet the house is the Philadelphia Eagles are going to pick up the huge win at home over the Arizona Cardinals. Bet the house on it. My upset alert. There are some interesting ones. Give me the LA Rams to upset the Seattle Seahawks. And my top performer. It's from tonight's game. I think he's actually on the screen now. If you're watching the CBS feed, I believe we have it on here, is Famous Jameis. Famous Jameis is going to have a fantastic day. He's going to pick apart the New England defense. And this one's going to be another game like last week with the Patriots and Panthers. To recap, I say bet the house. Philadelphia over Arizona. My upset alert. The Rams over the Seahawks. And top performer is going to be Jameis Winston. And Cody is bet the house of the 49ers over the Colts. Tampa Bay over New England is his upset, which if I'm right with the top performer, that could happen. And Jay Cutler is the top performer. So there you go. That's kind of the way that's going to work. It's going to go a lot more smoothly next time. But, you know, it's going to do it for us this week, though. Shout out to everybody here at the studio that helped make this thing happen. Shout out to everybody at Impact Media, everybody at Blog Talk Radio. But for the Coach Haywood Hill, for the King ATL and Reggie Walker, and of course for Cody, Superman, Elias, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Get it now. Yeah, yeah. Get it now. Yeah, yeah. Get it now. Yeah, yeah. Get it now. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. Make it up.
I got them shaking their boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate it blue in the face like John Zoka. I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't do stuff. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah.
Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. Hey, big girl, make a bag it up. Make a bag.
Girl, wobble it, and I'ma gobble it.
Yeah.
I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it.
Yeah.
We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girl say, man, like this, double racking it. Damn, I'm so explicit, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like...
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.